You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work. Friends, family, expect you to be on 24/7? Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Blue Wire.
The Arizona Cardinals select Kyler Murray.
And the 2019 Offensive Rookie of the Year is Kyler Murray.
This year's most valuable player, Lamar Jackson.
He puts it himself. Look at him, Kirk, back and forth. Oh, he broke his ankles. He is Houdini. Touchdown, Patrick Mahomes with a rope. Chiefs. Super Bowl champions here in Miami.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Establish the Pass podcast, presented by Clutch Points and our friends at Blue Wire. I'm your host, Blake Lovell. With me is my co-host, Dylan Reagan, and we are talking here right after the number 32 pick in the first round of the 2021 NFL Draft, 32 picks on the board, Dylan, and an eventful draft, to say the least, but also before the draft, also some eventful information out there in terms of one Aaron Rodgers, and so pretty wild draft day, to say the least.
Yeah, that pretty much dominated, like, from the time I started working to, you saw the first, there were, like, the reports that the Niners were trying to trade for Rodgers, and you kind of felt, all right, like, I'm sure that a lot of teams would love to trade for him. We heard kind of the same thing before the Rams got Matthew Stafford, that they had interest in Rodgers, but, and, you know, we knew he was a little bit upset after, not just because they drafted a quarterback last year, and he's talked about how they haven't taken any skill position players in the last, you know, decade, essentially, but just that they hadn't communicated with him about that. He's said some weird things, like, about, you know, his future being a beautiful mystery, that kind of stuff. But today, the first time when Schefter, and just only because I have notifications on for Adam Schefter, I know that it wasn't a fake account tweeting that he wanted out of Green Bay. And I was like, this is not something – I mean, this is – I don't, it's not the same at all, really. The situation very different than what happened with Brett Favre. But just, like, the timelines are pretty insane in terms of both guys playing and Brett and Bart Starr, all of them playing exactly 16 years with the Packers. And now you, it's just hard to imagine Aaron in a different jersey. But, yeah, that was definitely the most, you know, dominated everything today in terms of the news cycle, what we're paying attention to at Clutch Points on the editorial side, on our social side. Like, everything was just, is he going to get traded today? And you had Trey Wingo, who, you know, even though he doesn't still work for ESPN, still connected really well after all those years working in the NFL. And he said that as of last night, Aaron thought he was being traded to the Niners. And obviously that is not the case. And I, at this point, it looks like they're going to try to move him anywhere outside of the NFC. But, man, this is it's crazy. It definitely was like, you know, obviously we have a really exciting trade that we'll get to in the NFL draft and a lot of exciting things. But when you have the scope of the MVP wanting out from a team that he's played for his entire career, for his whole, entire Hall of Fame career, it just it had a huge shadow over the whole first round for me, but also just felt like on the whole NFL world.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. And, I mean, the you know, which we normally don't start talking about the number 29 pick in the draft, but I guess we can sort of start there with the Packers because, you know, you get to 29. You know, I in our mock draft, I had him going with Elijah Moore, the wide receiver from Ole Miss. But they go Eric Stokes. They stay in the SEC. They go Eric Stokes, cornerback from Georgia. You know, it makes sense in terms of filling a need for the Packers. But, you know, you see so many people, they're like, okay, they got to go wide receiver here. They're not going to just all of a sudden try to turn everything around with that one pick at number 29. That was never going to be the case. That was not going to swing, I think, Aaron Rodgers' decision at this point. And, you know, I think it was Lewis Riddick that pointed out. Like, he's pretty much set in what he's thinking at this point
yeah.
in terms of what Rodgers wants. And picking anyone at number 29, doesn't matter who it is, it's not going to change his opinion probably unless you're trading up for, you know, I don't know, someone in the top five maybe. But at that rate, yeah, I just think that, you know, for the Packers, I mean, they have needs, and certainly wide receiver was one, but, you know, cornerback was as well.
Cornerback, absolutely. And, I mean, you could argue, like, you know, outside of really what they did last year, you could argue that drafting anyone that's going to play immediately will help Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. That's the one thing, you know, part of last year. And this pick could end up being really good. It does fill a need, like we're mentioning, and, you know, outside of Jair Alexander, they don't really have that number two shutdown corner. We'll see if that can be the case here for Stokes. Obviously, the really, really fast guy. A guy that when you think about, not to be, this is not fair to Kevin King, but you think about when he got blown by on that touchdown at the end of the first half, and this Stokes is the kind of guy that can actually catch up when he gets beat. That's the thing, his raw speed is insane. So, yeah, in a vacuum, and just that, like, yes, it fills a need. They really do need another corner. They're pretty middling pass DVOA defense team. Last year, despite having some pretty decent pass rushers, it absolutely was a need. But like you're saying, it's objectively, Mike Golick Jr. tweeted, like, it's objectively just funny that after everything that happened today, unless you're a Packer fan, then I feel bad for our producer, Aiden, who's going to be up tonight, putting this together for us. It could work out really well for them. And hopefully, you know, for the Packers' sake, hopefully Jordan Love, they were right about him, and he ends up being the quarterback of the future, and they just kind of pick up where they left off, just like they did with Rodgers after Favre. But yeah, it's not that, you know, they needed a corner. They could have taken a receiver, like you said. Moore would have made a lot of sense there. Bateman almost fell to them. Maybe they take him if he was still available at 29. But it's just, yeah, it's just after everything that happened today for them still not to take a receiver just became kind of funny. But I think the pick, you know, Stokes not a guy that we took in the first round of our mock draft, but still someone that thinks an impressive skill set, and I'm sure enough the Packers, I'm very confident what he'll be able to do right away for them.
Yeah, I think so, and that was not the only storyline, as we know. The Rodgers thing, I'm sure we'll be discussing if he doesn't get traded before the start of next week when we do our next episode, but how about this before we get into the actual draft portion? Like, is there anywhere that stands out in terms of, okay, I could see this happening? Because we all know how this is going to work. Like, it's going to come out of nowhere. It's going to be a complete shock probably wherever he goes. Like, but I guess if you start to look around, we know it's not the Niners now. But, I mean, it gets interesting after that, doesn't it? Because, like you said, I mean, they're not trading him to anyone. You know, they're not going to trade him to a rival. They're not going to trade him to you know, in the division, or like you said, probably trying to do it outside the NFC, but
yeah.
that list becomes pretty interesting, I guess, at that point.
Yeah, much to the relief of Matthew Stafford, who thought he escaped Aaron Rodgers in the same division. He almost had him follow him right over there. That would have been something. But in terms of, yeah, I mean, Mike Florio tweeted out about it, obviously, that the Packers really would like to, if they, you know, again, he's prefacing it that, and as all the reports have said, the Packers are steadfast. They're not trading him. They're going to talk to him and figure this out. And they have tried to talk to him. I believe Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter both reported, you know, about LaFleur and Gutekunst and like other members of the front office going out to meet him. And it seems like there's just, at this point, we'll see if they can, you know, recollect.
Like, it's got to be the Raiders, right? Like, that's got to be one of
the... Well, so, yeah, that was the other... Mike Florio said that it was Rodgers' preference is to go to a West Coast team, and obviously if he's not going to be an NFC, we're not... The Chargers are, you know, as much as they love to have Aaron Rodgers, it's just on the timeline of where they're going. It doesn't make as much sense with how great Justin Herbert was as a rookie. Obviously, Chiefs, even though they're in the AFC West, are very much set, and they also are not on the West Coast by any means. So that pretty much leaves, it was the Broncos and Raiders that he mentioned. The Broncos, obviously, also, Colorado's not that close to the West Coast, even though it is in the western part of the United States. that was a team that before the draft, Mark Schlereth was on a radio station in Denver talking about saying that it was as close to a done deal as a deal can be. And then you had Mike Liss from in Denver, a reporter there that said that it's not happening yet and there's nothing substantial. So I don't know. The Broncos, it seemed like for a second that it was just going to happen. It was like going to throw off, like right when the NFL draft starting, that was just going to even upend it more. But the Raiders, you think with John Gruden, the idea of all the years he's announcing, watching Rodgers on Monday Night Football, all the times the Packers are on, and just in general with all of his tape that he's done, even before he became a coach again, obviously would love the idea of having him to, you know, Derek Carr put up some really good numbers, had a really good year, one of the top DYR Football Outsiders stat, just ranking quarterbacks. He was in the top 10. Had a solid year, but it's not the reigning MVP. It's not. You just think about how much they must be salivating at that. I don't know what their trade, you know, that they what they would give up to make it work for the Packers' point of view. Not that the Packers need, you know, in their mind a long term quarterback. If they must be really confident in Jordan Love to be at this spot with everything that's happened. So those are the two teams, though, at this point. If you're matching where he wants to be in the conference, they make the most sense. But if he's not as set on the where in terms of the West Coast, I mean, I think teams that had the most draft capital, but obviously the Jets were very focused on Zach Wilson, and you just think that their timeline, too, wouldn't really make sense. Does Rodgers really want to go to a team that can't compete for a Super Bowl? I'm like, I mean, the Broncos have a lot of really good skill players, and it would be a lot of fun to watch that. The only other one I really thought of was, like, that maybe possibly was, like, Miami. But again, that's very far from where he reportedly wants to go.
I don't know. I think it makes sense that it's either the Raiders or the Broncos. But man, like you said, the Raiders are not built to win right now, and that
defensively,
that probably worries you a bit if you're Rodgers. So the Broncos would make the most sense probably. Look, I mean, we'll talk about it here in a second, but they had a chance to draft a quarterback, and they didn't, instead going the route that, you know, makes sense for them, I think, defensively. But they got, I thought, a pretty good situation there with Patrick Surtain being there at number 9 for them.
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting. I don't know. I'd love to see the Raiders situation because I just think that would be such a fascinating deal, knowing that the Raiders' defense is not great. And, but still, you know, Rodgers would have some weapons to work with, you know, whether it's Waller or Ruggs or, Josh Jacobs. You just got a lot still he could work with. But I don't know. We'll see. But I think, obviously, like you said, we're supposed to be talking all draft here. And, you know, we're talking Aaron Rodgers because it's obviously a huge deal. We have to. But all right, let's roll through the draft here. No, we're not going to roll through every single pick or anything, but just the most notable situations. We knew Trevor Lawrence was going 1 of the Jags. We knew Zach Wilson was going 2 to the Jets. Number 3 was what we kept saying. This is where the draft started. I think you and I picked every possible scenario before we got to this point. I think Trey Lance was the 3rd in that scenario, but he winds up being the one that goes number 3. To the 49ers, the more you think about it, I think the more it makes sense. Knowing we pretty much knew that Justin Fields was going to drop going into this thing. But when it came down to Mac Jones and Trey Lance, you just felt like Lance was going to be the guy. And it was for everything that, you know, all the analysts have talked about, just in terms of his skill set. He's that dual threat type guy that we know and we've come to see from the very successful quarterbacks in the league right now. So I can't say that I'm just completely shocked. I mean, we mentioned it was a very high possibility this could happen, but I think the more you think about it, makes sense probably for the Niners to go this route.
Yeah, and it makes it very likely they're not going to trade Jimmy now, because that's the thing that's always been said about Lance is he has the raw tools, the skills, the athleticism to be, you know, I don't think that's a fair comparison to say for Lance given how good Josh Allen was last year, but that is what you see, like the comparables for kind of guys in terms of the skill set of what you can possibly do. So there's a ton of potential there, just a guy that might not need to start right away. And while the Niners entertained, it sounds like, you know, trading Garoppolo and all the things that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch said the last couple of days, it really made it seem like he was going to get moved. Now it really doesn't feel like that. But it works out well in terms of, you know, if they weren't convinced about Mac Jones and that smokescreen, man, that smokescreen was big. It ended up being exactly that. I thought, you know, it became clear with all the reports they weren't going to go Fields. I still think that would have been an interesting pick, but I think with the potential of what Lance has, obviously we talked about this being the best possible for any of these quarterbacks place to start their career in terms of the coaching staff, the talent they already have assembled. A team that obviously was so banged up last year should bounce back, and, you know, even though it's really early, do expect to probably pick them as a playoff team 2021. Yeah, it couldn't be a much better situation for him. And yeah, you talk about Fields falling. I did not think he was going to fall quite as far as he did. I think that's the next part we talked about. We thought, you know, we're pretty much on with our 5 and 6 picks. You nailed Chase. I took the wrong Alabama receiver at number 6 for the Dolphins as they take Waddle. But after that, I really did, and it made sense for the Lions. I know you, when we did the mock draft, weren't so sure about Sewell. You know, going there if you get picked before, but it does really make sense for what they need. It's really the 8-9 spots where I was surprised whether they didn't take a quarterback in the Panthers and Broncos or trade back. Obviously, they're really infatuated with those corners and really helps both teams. But man, yeah, it's just interesting that Fields fell just far enough for your bold prediction to come true.
Yeah, he did. And I mean, that's what we said. I mean, it was the order of these quarterbacks beyond the top two. We had no idea how it was going to play out, but yeah, I mean, we kind of talked about it. We were laughing, like, who knows what the Bears are going to do, but that's what I was like, surely they have to understand that if they're in that scenario where they have this opportunity and you see one or more of these quarterbacks fall, which is what we saw here, like, you have to make your move and give the Bears credit like they did. And they could have sat back and literally came out with nothing here at quarterback, but they made the move up knowing that they were probably one of those couple teams that we said if it wasn't the Bears, it was either going to be the Patriots or the Saints probably, but it was the Bears, the one that moved up to 11 to get that spot and take Justin Fields, which, I mean, you know, I don't want to say here we go again, but, like, it's somewhat like that in that, like, here's the next guy in line for the Bears to see, you know, can this finally be the pick for the Bears to be able to kind of boost them over the top and get them to that point? I think it's going to be fascinating to see because, like we said, it's everything's on the line for the Bears, and maybe that turns out to be a problem for the staff because, like, you feel like it's all on the line this season. And, you know, can Justin Fields just immediately step in, and do they have the personnel to immediately boost them, you know, into a team that can get to where they need to be to save a lot of people's jobs? That maybe is the big question here, even with them getting Fields and getting what I think is a really good pick there at number 11.
Yeah, the big winner of this pick, I think Allen Robinson, we were talking about him in our last draft, finally gets that quarterback that I'm sure he's really excited to get working with. But then also, in terms of the, you know, the reports of the whole day, we talk about the Aaron Rodgers situation, then we're talking about Nagy and Pace, these guys that are definitely on the hot seat this year. Now you might have Aaron Rodgers moving out of the division. If Fields, you know, steps in with their defense, still should be really solid. And Fields, even if he's not, you know, having a Justin Herbert type season or anything like that, but if he still is a solid quarterback, I mean, are they the favorite? If Rodgers gets traded, are they the favorite to win this division? I don't know. Like, probably maybe not still with how much talent the Packers have, but it's a day that I, you know, any Bears fan that I've seen or talked to is very, very happy about this move. And, you know, they're not too worried about how much they gave up. You've seen some anonymous front office, people and scouts that are saying, you know, the Giants made out really well at this trade, getting a first-round pick next year, not moving too far back to the future fourth round or the third round this year. So, but hey, I mean, it could work out for both sides. I really do think if Fields plays up to his potential, I mean, his skill set's amazing. Again, we've kind of talked about how I didn't really think that Ohio State even utilized his rushing ability maybe as much as they could have. Obviously, they don't want to get him banged up in the NFL, but just a guy that I believe is going to be really, really good. And it's like after all these years of taking the quarterbacks of just, you know, it's not the same at all. I don't think Deshaun Watson and Fields are exactly maybe a comparison I would make. But in terms of the Bears having that guy that seemed like the surefire, like, you know, this is the top quarterback. He kind of fell in the draft, but everyone's still really confident what he was able to put up in college and the numbers and the performance. And then they pass on him for an unproven kind of guy. And this year, it just felt like it was kind of like they're writing that wrong a little bit of that kind of just maybe thinking too hard about this. like Justin Fields, you know, again, before all the as inevitably the few months leading up to the draft after the season, we see these quarterbacks slide around. He was the number two guy that everyone thought for sure was going to be a Jet, and now he's with the Bears, and I think for him that works out really well, and for Chicago, here it is. I mean, it's not the offensive line still needs some work. Don't have, you know, outside of Allen Robinson, the best skill group. I still do like Mooney a lot. I'm excited to watch the Bears, which is not something that I was going to say when I said they're just there in the last podcast. Now they're not. They're a fun team that I'm actually really excited to watch.
Yeah, excited to watch the Bears offense. I don't remember the last time we were at that level, but I guess maybe when they drafted Trubisky. I don't know if we still thought that as soon as that happened. I don't remember, but
seemed awful at the moment. Actually,
yeah, I don't know, but at least maybe there was a little more optimism, than there was a few years after that. The Bears. I think you put them in as one of the biggest winners of the first round here, just based on them being able to move up and get that pick. I think, you know, no surprise probably the Falcons staying put, taking Kyle Pitts at number four. We sort of expected that if there was no trade up. They get Kyle Pitts. Their offense is set. At this point, you mentioned it, Ja'Marr Chase goes to the Bengals to reunite with Joe Burrow, and then Jalen Waddle goes to the Dolphins at six to reunite with Tua. This was a teammate night. Of course, as we'll get to the Jags here in a second. But we talked about Sewell goes to the Lions at seven. Then that's where you had sort of that interesting part to where the draft sort of took a turn a bit when you had the Panthers go cornerback at eight with J.C. Horn from South Carolina. Then we talked about Surtain goes nine to Alabama, or excuse me, to the Broncos. I keep looking at these guys, these colleges, but he goes to the Broncos. And, you know, that sort of set off that chain of events where you have the Cowboys swipe the Giants. I mean, just think about that. Think about how crazy that is. The Cowboys swipe the Giants, but they do it to help the Eagles. The NFC East, the gift that keeps on giving, where the Cowboys trade out of 10. They trade with the Eagles knowing that I guarantee you 100% the Giants at 11 are taking Devontae Smith if he's there. But then, you know, once that doesn't happen, the Eagles come up, they get Devontae Smith, and now the Giants are sitting there at 11 like, well, there went our guy. Let's trade back, and that's where the Bears come up and get Fields. This was sort of that range, and we always know there's one that happens, you know, when you have these trades, but like this, you know, this 10 through 12, right here, mainly orchestrated by the NFC East.
This is what we talked about exactly in terms of the domino effect or the butterfly effect of one move completely changing everything. Like the amount of scenarios that could have gone through based on what teams did really had a huge impact. Like you're saying, maybe the Bears, I mean, let's just run through. If they stick there at 10, the Cowboys, and, you know, draft, you know, they probably were going to take Parsons anyway. That made a lot of sense for them to do what they did. But then, yeah, like you're saying, the Giants probably not going to pass up drafting Devontae Smith there at 11. Then it's like, who's – where are the Bears trading up before the Patriots to get possibly Justin Fields? I don't know if the – I don't think the Vikings at 14 were going to trade down with them to let them get their quarterback in the future. I think the Chargers were way too enamored with Slater to pass on him at 13. So it – yeah, you're, it becomes a pretty interesting, you know, just thought – exercise, I guess, to think about if the Pats had the option to draft either at 15, do they still take Mac or do they take Fields? I would love to know that answer, but instead we'll never know it. The Eagles, you know, perfect, the team that sat their players in, against Washington in that final Sunday night football game and raging Giants fans, now they trade up to take their receiver that they wanted with another one of their arch rivals. It was just so much NFC East fun right there, but it really did have a huge, you know, domino effect on how everything ended up playing out for the next few picks. And then we talked one real quick thing on the Panthers. One of the notes we made in the last podcast is we'd see, based on if Fields and one more guy, Mac or Trey Lance, was available still, if they we're going to really learn how much they're, you know, confident in Sam Darnold. And sure enough, I mean, J.C. Horn, you know, they did need a lot of help on that defense. They ranked 23rd in DVOA with their pass defense. J.C. Horn, you know, whether he's like the 1A, 1B cornerback with Surtain, I mean, it fills a big need. But the fact that Fields is there and they didn't take him, I do think that says something about, you know, they really do feel like Sam Darnold just, you know, needs a reset. He's still a really young guy. He's drafted really young, and it feels like they're pretty confident in him moving forward.
Yeah, I think that's for sure. That's exactly what it tells you at 8, because you did have two quarterbacks drop. And that was a possibility. I'm not going to lie to you. Whenever the Broncos made their pick at 9 at Surtain, and I'm sitting there still seeing the Cowboys on the clock at 10, I'm thinking, Jerry has got a loaded wide receiver group, but he's going to go out and grab Devonta Smith here. I just knew it was coming. I was like, this guy's going to go out and get a wide receiver when they don't even need a wide receiver at all. But when they made that trade, that just – I was laughing. I was like, you got to be – like, they trade with the Eagles to swipe the Giants. That is just – that is NFC East right there. But, yeah, then you you go to the next biggest point of this, and this is what everyone's going to be talking about. When you talk about the biggest winners, I mean, if this guy turns out to be the type of quarterback that we – you know, a lot of people projected. Mm-hmm. Again, we were thinking he may go number 3. The Patriots do not even have to move. They don't have to lift a finger to get their quarterback at number 15. And I still think I think all along when you really think about it, like Mac Jones, I feel like was gonna be their guy. I don't know, they're just whether it's the Alabama connection, I don't know what it is, but like he was gonna be their guy, it seemed like, if he didn't go to the 49ers. And so for them just to sit there at number 15 and wait and wait and wait, and you're just seeing the board fall. And then when the Bears moved up, you knew it was like, okay, that's it. Like, the Patriots are going to get Mac Jones. Like, you knew at that point at 11, that was what was going to happen. Unless the Jets decided to, you know, screw over the Patriots or something, if someone else wanted to move up. But that's the storyline here. The Patriots go quarterback first round, don't have to move for it. We talked about all the moves they've made in the offseason. Like, Belichick is all in, and he's all in on Mac Jones.
No, this worked out really well for him, like you're saying. I did for a moment when the Jets traded up. I was like, oh, no, are they just going to,
did you see what happened? Look, here's what happened, and I wish I would have caught this because this is one of those things that goes viral on Twitter. But on the screen on ESPN, they had, like, a mistake. Like, it was very split second.
Oh, really?
To where they had number 14, the Jets, and they had Mac Jones in a Jets jersey. And I'm thinking, like, on the graphic, on the screen, I promise you, I will find this, and I'm going to send this to you tomorrow. But it's got to be on the recording still. But, like, they had accidentally put up the pick at number 14. It said Mac Jones, quarterback, New York Jets. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, like, the Jets are the only team that would draft two quarterbacks in the top 14. But that was obviously a mistake. But I was just laughing at that. I'm like, oh, my gosh, the Jets want to stick it to the Patriots so bad that they're going to take two quarterbacks in the top 14.
I suppose they could have had, like, some other team they knew wanted him and, like, flipped him before the Pats. But then why would that team not trade up to 14?
Right.
Yeah, it was just a weird kind of thing when they traded up there. I didn't expect that, but, I mean – and I don't know if Elijah Vera Tucker may have still been there. I know we drafted him fairly high. I didn't know, you know, there's some other tackles that did not even go in the first round that we had in our first round, and thought maybe they could have probably sat where they were. But yeah, for the Patriots, like you're saying, it just felt like if Mac Jones looks and feels like the Patriots quarterback, like maybe I know he's like posted a picture like a couple of years ago, have the similarities of his body type to Tom Brady with their shirts off when they got drafted, just kind of look like. Not to be, you know, they're obviously supreme athletes, but don't exactly look like it. But anyway, I mean, yeah, in terms of, but I mean more so just, you look at even like what Garoppolo was able to do in their offense before, and just in terms of the, you know, we have accurate passers in the intermediate areas, great footwork. I mean, Mac Jones even especially draws up, I mean, even though he can't possibly put on a guy that obviously has won 7 Super Bowls now, but 6 with the Patriots, there's no, it's not fair to even possibly consider Mac Jones in that kind of realm, but he does have eerily similar like body movements, the way he processes the field, the way he's obviously he's going to go from having some of the most talented receivers in the NFL to a receiving corps that we know needs a lot of work. An offensive line that you know should bounce back, was not exactly spectacular, but did have some decent moments last season. So yeah, that's, I mean, as much as I, you know, when I made the bold prediction of the Patriots to trade up to draft Fields, and I said, like, that would make the AFC East the most intriguing division. I still think with Mac there that they're going to be insanely intriguing. I don't know if he's going to start right away. They still have Cam, obviously. And Mac has said all the right things about getting drafted there and being excited to work with him, being excited to work with Stidham. So it's definitely that. The Bears, get, I mean, the quarterbacks always dominate the story. And in this case, it was we knew the first two. And then Lance created a lot of intrigue, obviously, with the Niners. But then, you know, then the Bears and now the Patriots, we'll find out if this was the right – maybe he just was the perfect guy for their scheme. I don't – you know, there's a reason, like, what, when we did the mock draft, we thought Fields should have been the third quarterback off, even possibly the second still, and then we had Lance going before. We did have Mac Jones being the fifth quarterback off, I guess, just a little bit closer in our draft. But it just, it worked out, like you're saying, so well for the Patriots. They were patient. They did not, you know, panic in terms of when they got to that spot. Maybe they just felt confident about what was going to happen in front of them. And, it worked out really well for them. Hopefully it does for the Bears, too. I still more excited for to see how Fields works out in Chicago. But, I mean, the Patriots, this could if this works out and, you know, they don't have to rush him. Also, you know, another comparison, I guess, maybe like a Matt Ryan kind of and what the Rams did hope Jared Goff was going to become. Maybe Jared had a little at the time, not as great of a pocket presence. He did play with some pretty bad offensive lines at Cal. But, it's going to be really interesting to watch what he does. And that whole division, I still do believe now it's like it's really becoming a division. All those games are going to be so fun to watch. And so intriguing here for, as you coined it on the last podcast, Belichick's last stand.
Yes, that's it. And he's all in for sure. And, you know, I guess a couple other takeaways before we wrap up. Like, I look around, I'm like, I feel like everyone actually did a pretty good job here. Like, I mean, even like the teams at like 20, like the Giants getting Kadarius Toney at 20, I think that's really good value. We talked about Quiddy Pay at 21 to the Colts. Like, that's good. Farley, you know, to go or Fairley to go at 22. I know, you know, you talk about the back issues and all that, but I think still, I mean, at full strength, you know, which this is a Titans specialty at this point, you draft injured players and, you know, some of them work out, some of them don't, but you felt like the Titans, at least they go this route at 22. And then I think for the Vikings to get Darisaw at 23, you know, I mean, some people thought he was the second or third best, you know, lineman in the draft, and they get him at 23 after trading down. And then, you know, Najee Harris at 24, like, that makes sense for the Steelers. Etienne at 25 to reunite him with Trevor Lawrence. Like, you know, Urban Meyer's all in on Clemson. I just think, really, for the most part, like, I feel like, I mean, look, we could go back, and some of these guys are going to be busts. Like, that's just the math. It's going to work out that way. But, like, overall, I don't really feel like, except for one team, and we all know who this one team is because they do it every year, the Raiders, who at 17 take Alex Leatherwood, very good player, by the way. Like, he's outstanding, but what was he, projected probably middle of second round, maybe?
Yep.
Late second round by some people. And, I mean, this is what we know. Like, this is what the Raiders do. They don't care about that stuff. Like, they go out and get the guy they think that, I mean, ESPN had him ranked as the 60th best player in the draft.
Yep.
And so, like, again, he's an Alabama guy. Like, Raiders love their Alabama guys. They love their Clemson guys. But, I mean, they had a lot of success. We get it. But, I mean, that's one that a lot of people are probably going to circle. But really, for the most part, like, I look everywhere else and I'm like, those teams in the 20s got some really good value. I thought like the Browns at 26 to get Greg Newsom all the way at 26. You know, Rashad Bateman at 27. Like, it's just, I thought there was just a lot of good value here.
Yeah, in terms of the Raiders, like you're saying, you go back to Cleveland Farrell, even Damon Arnett, these picks where guys were valued way below where they took them, and it's like, fine that you want those guys, but just, you got to read the room a little bit in terms of if you're really confident in Leatherwood, you probably could have traded down. And like, we're talking about this is the second straight year for the Vikings that they've just, well, there's the video of them like laughing what last year when the Eagles passed on Justin Jefferson right before them. They're probably doing the same thing. I mean, they traded back 9 spots to get arguably the guy they would have taken at 14.
Yeah.
And Christian Darrisaw. And it's like, the Vikings have manipulated some of these mid to late round, first round picks last year and this year now to perfection. That one has to be one of the best picks for me. You mentioned the Browns, obviously, with Greg Newsom. Now, think about all the health that they're getting back at corner opposite of Denzel Ward. But, you know, with Greedy Williams coming back, it should be healthy. And, they brought in John Johnson. And the Browns, I mean, it's just like, man, that secondary suddenly went from having some holes to looking pretty deep and pretty scary. And, you know, a guy that arguably was, you know, could have been the second DB taken or the third. I mean, I'm excited for what Caleb Farley can do. Really love watching him when he's healthy, obviously. And I hope he works out there for Tennessee. But yeah, like you said, there's not a lot of, like, they're always going to be a little bit with the running backs taken that early. Did they reach? Could they have weighted, but I mean, those two really insanely talented guys, especially the Steelers. You think about they're all in for this year. They really needed another skill player back there. Have not, you know, they've had issues with the offensive line with it aging out a bit, but I think Harris is still a really intriguing prospect there. One name that of a team that we didn't mention quite yet, but I think is a home run draft pick, is for the Ravens getting Rashad Bateman. We had him going, I think, 20th to the Bears in our draft, and for him to go to 27, for him to still be available, I think he's the, like, as much as they would have been happy with Tony if he had fallen instead, I think that really the Bateman fits a bit more into what they have in terms of their players, especially with Marquise Brown being the opposite of him. Has that size, but also just playmaking ability in so many different parts of the field. Also can play in that, you know, just played on the outside in the slot. So that one, I mean, those are that pick in the Vikings may be my favorite two. That are the best picks for in terms of what I think of, like, what these teams, the value they got at the spots they got while filling needs. But like you said, a lot of teams, like, I thought Quiddy Pay was great for the Colts. I think that was a perfect, you know, fits in exactly what they needed on a defense that's also really, really talented already, but maybe just needed that one more pass rusher. I think he was perfect there. A lot of teams that made a lot of good picks that definitely excited for those guys. Even going back to the end of the draft, Jason Away at 31 there for the Ravens, filling both of their needs. I thought, Joe Tryon, hopefully he works out really well for Tampa Bay, but I thought it was going to be Barmore there. That was the one where I was like, man, with Harris going earlier, that was when we had our mock draft. I was saying, like, those are the two guys I was really considering. Still think, you know, obviously even though they brought everyone back, they don't have a lot of these guys on the defensive line signed long-term. Some of them are definitely not exactly getting any younger. So Tryon fits in well, gets to play behind, probably be more of a situational third down kind of rusher as a rookie, just because, as they kind of talked about on the broadcast, he struggled a bit as a run defender. But yeah, it wasn't as many what is this team doing picks.
Yeah.
Really the Raiders one. It's not even, again, like you're saying, like, Leatherwood could be really, really talented, has a lot of potential. It's just you got to understand the value of these, like, where these guys are going to go and why, like, just understanding where they're probably going to go otherwise. That's the part that is a little confusing for me, and it just continues to be for the Raiders. But hey, they've been operating like this, like you said, and this isn't a new thing. We should be expecting this at this point.
Yep, we should. And one guy who does not have to travel far, and that is the guy who's going to travel the least amount of miles to go to his next team. That's Jalen Phillips from Miami.
Yes.
Who goes from the University of Miami to the Miami Dolphins at 18, which I thought that was a pretty good pick there for the Dolphins. And, I mean, really overall, I mean, like you said, there's a lot to take away. There's a lot that we will be breaking down on these. But one thing I think that really stood out as well, the Jags may give up 50, but they're going to try to score 50 because they they bring back James Robinson at running back. They take Travis Etienne as well. You go quarterback, running back in the first round. So Urban Meyer is ready to score some points in Jacksonville. So we will see how that unfolds there for the Jags, I guess. But Dylan, what a first round. Like we said, we knew it was going to be crazy, but I really do. Like, I think for the most part, there are very few teams you can point to and say that team just completely, you know, screwed up what they should have done. Again, some of these, you dig a little bit deeper, maybe the value wasn't there, but I think some teams made some really good picks. And as we said, some of those teams in the 20s, I think, got some really good value based on such a run on quarterbacks, wide receivers early on in the draft, and that allowed some of those other guys to drop at that point. But I know we'll have everything covered over Clutch Points, all the coverage of the first round, not only that, but also the other rounds as we go throughout the weekend. Like, tell everybody where they can find all of that over Clutch Points.
Yeah, you can read all of our trade grades for the couple deals that were made during the draft. We've breaking down predictions, or way too early predictions, for all these players in their rookie seasons with their new teams. And we'll continue to follow along. Today we had our whole, as we do every year, a draft tracker article we're updating with. It's like a live blog that updates throughout the draft with about the player that each team got, and just keeping everyone updated there. We'll continue to do that through the second and third round tomorrow. In terms of the Jaguars, like you're saying, we'll see if they can see if they'll upgrade that defense a bit. They have drafted a lot of defenders in past years, and they do have a luxury, even though they take the running back there in the first round, with the 33rd overall pick, the 44th. So they got a couple second-rounders. We'll be covering what they do there, seeing if they can try to stop the other team from scoring a little bit early on. And the rest of the draft, yeah, a lot of selections still to come. And obviously it's still that shadow of Aaron Rodgers. We have plenty of breakdowns of teams that could trade for him. Every little rumor and every little report that comes out about that you can find on ClutchPoints.com, the NFL section, and in the NFL section of the Clutch Points app.
Well, as is always the case when we record a podcast, even at midnight, my time, there is news, and that is the Packers. Adam Schefter tweeted this out a few minutes ago. That the Packers have said, we are not going to trade Aaron Rodgers. So they have dug in, and guess what? We've heard that from many teams before in the past, and 2 days later, they send the guy packing. So we will see. I think this is probably going to be more of a long, drawn-out thing versus a short-term thing. I think if you're the Packers, you better make it that way, because you wait as long as you possibly can, probably at this point, to make that move. But also knowing that calendar's about to hit May, and you know, you better figure something out here pretty quickly. So we'll see what happens. Like you said, everything covered at Clutch Points. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Any podcast app you use, you can find us there. And thanks as always to the fine folks at Blue Wire for all they do. And thank you as always for listening. We'll talk to you guys next time here on the Stafford Podcast.